to Lifeline on near FM 90.3 with me, Nwaboko Enwarem. I have on the phone this morning with me, Judith Glensenen. She's the spokesperson for Deborah Island. Good morning, Judith.
Good morning, Oga. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm fine, thank you. And today, she's just going to be creating awareness around the butterfly skin disease. Tell us what it's all about, because I've never heard of a thing like this. The only thing I've heard, there is this other one, but I know it was two children that had it in UK. So this is a very rare skin condition. So, Judith, I'll just leave you to do all the talking, and I could just come in with a couple of questions. So
sure.
I'll leave it to you.
So the condition is called epidermolysis bullosa. We call it EB because that's quite a mouthful.
Okay.
And it's basically a genetic skin condition. So obviously you're born with it. And very simply, EB, when you have EB skin, you're missing a vital gene that creates a type of glue that sticks your layers of skin together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a type of collagen, a protein. Collagen 7 is what it's called, and it's a collagen that you know, when we without EB, we get a bump or a knock on our skin, you might get a bruise, you might get a blister, but that's kind of the end of it, and your skin recovers very nicely. When you have EB and you get the same bump, the blister that develops, basically because the skin is not anchored down in any way, the trauma that it creates to the skin is quite profound, and the blister will grow and grow, and a very bad wound will be created. And what this means is that, you know, the only way to sort of protect yourself from the outside world and the knocks and bumps that we get throughout our lives is to have this kind of endless round of bandaging to protect your skin. Because, you know, as we all know, our skin is our first line of defense, if you will. You know, it protects us from infection, it protects our organs, it protects our whole body. Our skin is our biggest organ. So when you imagine that your skin is this fragile, it has a life-affecting change. The wounds that are created from EB have a very, very hard time knitting together because the skin is so fragile. Then, unfortunately, what happens is that a lot of our patients are quite susceptible to a type of skin cancer because the skin is constantly breaking down. And that's basically what EB is. And as I said, you're born with EB. So a lot of our patients have EB as a result of a recessive gene. So each of the parents would have a recessive gene. So they wouldn't look like they have EB in any way. They would have no idea they're carrying this gene. They create a baby together, and then when the baby is born, often the first sign of any problem is that the baby might be born with skin missing from the hands or the feet. And that would alert the doctors to what this is, and then the baby gets tested, and then if it's EB, then it's a lifelong kind of battle to protect themselves, because there is no cure for EB at this point. We have a lot of research going on, and that's why we're doing an EB awareness campaign, because people haven't heard of EB. It's a rare disease that affects one in every 18,000 births. But it means that, you know, in a small population like Ireland, about 300 people have EB. And unfortunately, you know, that's a small amount of people, and it's a difficult condition for people to understand, and it's a difficult thing to get people to invest in terms of research. But it is an incredibly difficult thing to live with. It is terribly, terribly painful when you live with the worst types of EB, and it's a life sentence for pain, you know, and that's what we're doing this campaign this week about. And we're asking people to text butterfly to 50300, and that will allow them to make a €4 donation, and that obviously funds our work from day to day patient care perspective as well as a research perspective.
Also, while I was looking at it, you also, from the press release, it says you can also pick up a butterfly tattoo at Apple Green.
Exactly. We're very, very lucky that we have Applegreen as a partner mm-hmm. with us. They chose us as their charity partner, and we're in partnership with them for all of this year and next year. And they are helping us by... so we have produced these butterfly tattoos. Now, I don't know whether I explained it, but the reason we use the butterfly as a symbol is because our children have skin that's as delicate as a butterfly's wing. Mm-hmm. So it's a great way to kind of explain very simply what EB is about. And we have created these butterfly tattoos. They're temporary tattoos. You can stick them on your hand, your face, or wherever you want. And then on the back of the tattoo, you'll see the instructions to text butterfly to 50300. And we're delighted to have Applegreen. Obviously, it's great to have somebody to help us distribute them, because if we were trying to obviously post a tattoo to everyone in the country, we wouldn't be able to afford to do that. So having a partner like that makes a big difference to us.
Okay. And if anybody is willing to support your work, like you said, they can either text butterfly to 50300 to make a €4 mm-hmm. donation, and also to go into any Applegreen filling station, I presume.
Yes, exactly. So they can make a donation in the normal kind of donation boxes mm-hmm. there, or pick up the tattoos there. And obviously they can also visit our website, which is deborahireland.org. And that, as I said, we get very little government funding, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So everything that we do in terms of day-to-day help with our patients, and as well as funding research, it has to come from the general public. And the day-to-day care kind of stuff that we provide is basically, you know, you can imagine when you come out of hospital with a newborn baby, expecting that your baby will be totally healthy, and then mm-hmm. to get the shock of this new baby that has very complicated needs for the rest of their lives. It's quite a lot to take on. So we have an incredible family support sort of service that basically is allows us to have people go into your home and help you through the process, everything from filling in forms and carers allowance applications and all that kind of stuff, to the practicalities of, you know, adjustments that you have to make in your home for the baby mm-hmm. to protect, you know, you can imagine a toddler learning to walk, you know, and if you're and the amount of knocking that a child gets at that stage in life, you know, the simple tips about how to avoid some of those injuries, because, you know, as soon as a wound is created when you have EB, it's very, very hard to get that wound completely clear again, so that the child can go on their way and have their skin completely restored. Unfortunately, if they get a really bad bump or knock on any part of their body, it generally stays even more vulnerable for the rest of their life. So that you know, preventing some of those things is the number one line of defense, if you can imagine.
Yeah, because I was reading is it Claudia's story, where she
Claudia,
said,
yeah.
Yeah, she said that if I had one wish, it is to get rid of EB. But even if they could find something that could help take away the pain and the itch, it will make life easier. You know, that got me, because just even having a simple burn, you know, like maybe you're cooking and you just have like a simple burn on your finger, is painful, not to talk of somebody having blisters all over. Because I was looking at her picture and I saw that her arms, both arms, were quite bandaged, you know. So how do
That's
the parents
right.
care? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. How do the parents care for them? Because they are so frail. Like, their skin is so fragile, like you say. It's like that of a butterfly, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, I suppose the children get very good at a very young age mm-hmm. at realizing that they have to protect themselves. You know, that they, from a day-to-day life perspective, what we have to do is the children, especially when they start school, you know, that we would go to the school and help the school train the SNA, you know, the special needs assistant for the child in class, so to make sure that, you know, even where they sit in the classroom is important. I mean, obviously, well, first of all, if you're covered in a lot of bandages, you're a lot warmer than the other children in your class. So we try and make sure that the school realizes that in order to keep the child comfortable, they need to probably be near a window, they might need to have a fan with them, all that kind of stuff. And then also maybe to have them in a corner of the room so there's not people walking by and kind of bashing into them, they're not going to knock or drop something. And then from a, you know, the schoolyard perspective, there's also lots of kind of adjustments that need to be made with a lot of our children. For example, the other children in the class would be on a kind of rota, so that one would stay inside with the child with EB and play with them during break time, so they wouldn't necessarily go out to the yard, or that the other children, you know, there might be a section of the yard that's kind of a quieter section so that they wouldn't get any kind of knocks. So you have to make those kind of changes all the time. As you said, itch is a big problem, and Claudia speaks very eloquently about that. And, you know, we can all identify with the with the idea that, you know, when you have a wound, it becomes very itchy when the skin tightens and it's kind of almost healed, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. It can get very itchy. And if you can imagine having a lot of wounds all over your body, that kind of itch becomes very distressful. And, you know, one of two things happens. Either, number one, the child really struggles to sleep because they're woken up all the time with this profound itch. Or the other thing is that they do sleep through the itch, but unfortunately in their sleep they will scratch themselves and actually create more wounds even during their sleep, which is a very kind of sad thing to think of, because mm-hmm. we all regard the bed as a sanctuary. You know, you go to bed and you feel awful, you usually wake up feeling better. But the idea that you can actually injure yourself in your own bed is quite a sort of shocking thing to consider for us that don't have EB, you know. And our parents will kind of walk into their children's bedrooms first thing in the morning with a sense of dread, because they don't really know what they're facing. And some of the mums have described it as sort of walking into a war zone. You know, you can go in and the sheets are covered in blood, and because the child has kind of, you know, gotten hold of a loose bandage and scratched away during the night, and a wound that might have almost been healed has been destroyed all over again, and then they're back to square one with a terribly bad injury that they're trying to work on, you know.
Yeah. So, like, living like a normal daily life is difficult then. You
Absolutely.
Know how sometimes
everything has changed.
Yeah. Sometimes with other illnesses, you can still do some things. You know, maybe they might tell you, oh, don't eat this, don't eat that, or don't do anything that will strain you. But in this particular case, you know, even talking, our skin is like the first contact we even get with the world. Like when you have a baby, your skin to skin, you know how they place the baby on you, or even when the, you know, so it's... my heart goes out to these children.
You miss that. And a lot of our mums would talk about that, you know, that you're sort of told, you know, we're all told when we have our new babies, you know, that skin-to-skin contact is such an important thing, and you must have skin-to-skin contact for bonding. When you can imagine all of the things that are taken away from you as a mum especially with the more severe types of EB, you know, because you don't get that skin-to-skin contact. Your baby is never walking around, toddling along, you know, when they're, you know, the things that you regard as normal, you know, in terms of, like, throw the baby into the bath and they mm-hmm. have great fun. Even the most cranky child can, you know, have great fun in the bath, and it really changes their mood. But, you know, when you have a child with EB, the bath can often be... the battleground, because the bath is where you put the child into the bath to sort of soak the bandages off the skin, and the bath can become a place of real distress, you know, where that's not how you know, the rest of us might have that, you know, a lovely experience of the bath. So a lot of the things like that are taken away from you. Those kind of little moments of joy that we all take for granted are often taken away from you.
Yeah, so I would like to ask, you know, because you said it's a rare genetic condition, but it's like a recessive gene. You know, you said something about recessive genes. So is there a way that parents that have such genes can... Because I know I come originally from Africa, and most of them, sometimes in the blood groups, we have sickle cell carriers like AS, and they are advised not to marry one another. So is there a way that parents or couples that have this kind of recessive gene, they know before they even have a child?
You wouldn't generally know. You can find out, you know, but with there are 6,500 rare diseases in the world. So it's impossible to know, to be tested for all of them, basically, is the short answer. You know, if there's EB in your family, you can get tested, but you're unlikely to know about it beforehand.
Okay.
Obviously, if you have a dominant gene, then you would know it, because you would obviously have EB yourself. But you know, if you have a recessive gene, so you know, if our parents obviously have a child with EB, then they know they carry the gene, and then they can go through what's known as genetic counselling. But before that, a lot of our parents wouldn't have known, because it's too uncommon to be tested. You know, there are lots of things that people can get tested for in utero, but they would be a lot more common than EB, and they would be normal kind of tests that people would get done. But in this case, unless you had some sense that it was in your family, it wouldn't be something that you would typically be tested for beforehand.
Yeah. And in your work, have you ever come across maybe a family having more than two children with EB?
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have plenty. Basically, if you're a recessive, if you have a recessive gene, both parents have a recessive gene, there's a 25% chance of the child having EB. So there are families where, you know, their first child didn't have EB, their second child did, or there are people who have first child. You know, in the other order, there are also families that have a couple of children with EB. So it's a statistics thing after that, you know.
Wow. Anyway, so could you just tell us again what you're creating awareness for? If people would like to donate, where they should go? And I want you to say, I know I have all the details, but I think it will sound better if you say it yourself. And I know you have a Facebook page. I've shared the picture. It's at Debra Island. And you have a tweet, that's your Twitter page, at Debra Island. And then your Facebook page is at Debra, capital letters, dot island, small. And if people would like to share pictures of them wearing a butterfly tattoo to raise awareness, I guess that is welcome, yeah?
That's absolutely it, yeah. We are quite, big users of social media, so Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. We try and create as much awareness through social media, because I suppose we generally can't afford to buy advertising media, you know. So that's we have used social media very well. It's also a great storytelling platform. You know, you kind of have to see EB to understand what it's all about. So obviously social media is more visual, and it gives us an opportunity to share all of our videos and our patient stories. It's worth saying our YouTube channel has some incredible footage from documentaries we've done over the years, and that's worth having a look at if people were interested. Yeah, absolutely. As I said, we are entirely reliant on donations from the Irish public in order to be able to fund the needs of our patients. You know, we essentially, plug the gap in between what our patients can get from the health system and other things that they need in their home. You know, so we work very closely with Crumlin Hospital and with St James's Hospital, where you would go after the age of 16, and we liaise all of those services together and provide, you know, a real sort of spare battery, if you will, to our patients. So as I said, EB takes over the entire family. There's nothing in your body that isn't affected by EB apart from your brain. So every single thing in life has changed once you have EB in your family. So we look after the whole family, and we look after, you know, whatever it takes, a tailor-made sort of service, if you will. You know, if your child is going to school, as I said, we will liaise with the school. If your child is going into secondary school, if and it happens, you know, if children are kind of being bullied in school, we'll go into schools and speak to the other children in the school and talk to them about EB and get rid of any of the sort of questions that people have, you know, because people are curious, but sometimes people ask questions in the wrong way, and it obviously hurts our families. So whatever it takes, that's kind of why we exist. And we can't do that without funding. So during this week and all year round, you know, when you text Butterfly, you can make a €4 donation. So text the word Butterfly to 50300, and that's a €4 donation. We obviously also welcome regular donations through direct debit, and all that can be done through our website, which is deborahireland.org. And as I said, you know, it's very important that people just talk about EB and know about EB. So social media, we have a lot of stuff going on social media. We've just been on Ireland AM this morning. So on the Ireland AM player, you can see one of our children, Claudia, and her mum talking about life with EB. Ray Darcy was talking about it yesterday as well on the radio. So the more, and yourselves, you know, the more kind of coverage that we can get, it gets rid of the stigma as well as the fundraising. It's important mm-hmm. that people, you know about EB and know how to deal with this, you know, when they meet someone on the street with EB, because you get asked all sorts of questions when you have EB, because people can see your wounds and they kind of assume you've been in a fire or you've been in an accident of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally some of them, people will think EB is contagious. You know, there's all sorts of misunderstanding out there. So the more we talk about it, the more people will understand. The more people understand, the more people will help us fundraise to get some proper cures and better treatments and, as I said, research into things like itch and, you know, all of those things that will make life easier when you have EB.
Okay. Thank you so much, Judith. And funny enough, this morning when I was coming into work, I stopped at an Apple Green filling station to get my fuel. There was a bucket there with this sticker, and I was trying to look as well as pay. I'll go back and get the sticker. So when I saw your logo, I'm like, oh, that's what it's all about. So anyway, yes, I wish you all the best, and hopefully someday there will be a breakthrough in science or even how to alleviate the pain and all the itching. My heart goes out to Clodagh and then the little girl, Maria. So I wish you guys all the best, and from all of us here at Near FM. Unfortunately, my time is over, and this is all the time I have. So take care. Have a
Thank
great
you so much for your
week.
Time.
Yeah. All right, then. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah.